Okay, I think I'm ready. Finally. So this is our last week in our Transformed series. We've seen how Mary Magdalene and Thomas and Peter and the disciples on the road to Emmaus and others were changed when they encountered the risen Jesus. So today we remember when all the disciples were transformed on the day of Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. It's almost hard to compare such a dramatic and all-encompassing transformation. I'm reminding you about Acts chapter 1, verse 14, which I think we looked at a little bit a couple weeks ago. The 12 apostles, plus the women, plus Mary and Jesus' brothers, were joined together constantly in prayer. They were in that upper room, praying and waiting. They knew that Jesus was alive. They were waiting for whatever was going to be next. And they were praying. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing, violent wind came among them. They saw what looked like fire on each other's, like kind of behind each other's heads or on top of each other's heads. And verse 4, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Later, Peter said, talking about Jesus, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. This is the Spirit of Christ that they are experiencing and seeing and hearing. Jesus is responsible for the wonders that they are seeing and hearing. It was hard for the disciples to watch Jesus go again when he ascended into heaven, even though they were happy that he was alive. It was hard for them to watch him go again. What were they going to do? They kind of looked at each other. What now? Jesus, the man, left. Jesus in bodily form left. But now they're realizing that the Spirit of Christ is abundant, unlimited, everywhere. The Spirit is poured out generously. There's no worry about having to share a limited person the way Jesus demands on Jesus' time were always a challenge in his earthly ministry because he was limited to one body. It was kind of like kids playing with water in the summertime when it's not a drought year, which I know you guys don't have as many of those here, but I have lived in some drought places. When it's not a drought year, when we've got plenty of rain, the kids are just playing with the water like it's just everywhere, right? It's everywhere. There's plenty to go around. That's how the Spirit of Christ is. Especially as we see in this passage. Abundant, available for all. God is big enough for every need. He hears every prayer, which still kind of blows my mind. Like, how does he keep that all straight? He's God, he hears every prayer. This generous outpouring of the Spirit of Christ changed everything that day. I noticed three ways that the Spirit made everything new that day that we'll go through briefly today. The first is the difference the Spirit made in the apostles. They used to be called the 12 disciples, then we start calling them the 12 apostles. Wow, what a difference the Spirit made in that bunch. Jesus had risen weeks ago. They knew that good news, but it took the power of the Holy Spirit for them to have the courage and the boldness to declare that truth loudly to any who would listen. Remember, these are the ones who were hiding behind locked doors, even after they had seen Jesus. And now they're out in the streets. They were keeping the good news to themselves in a way. And then they shared it all around, and eventually the news would spread all over the world. In the Gospels, these guys were frequently confused, frequently misunderstood Jesus and Jesus' purpose and the kingdom of God. Now we see them speaking with clarity and understanding. And what's more, they're speaking in languages they have never learned. It's an amazing transformation. God gives Peter all these words to say, and he is the one who does most of the talking, but the other apostles were standing up there with him. All of them appear unafraid, unafraid of punishment by the religious authority, unafraid of appearing foolish when someone makes the snide comment about that they've just had wine or whatever. They're unconcerned about the fact that they really don't have any experience or education or training for this moment. That does not seem to be concerning them at all. Our apostles were transformed to the point of being almost unrecognizable. They did still have some of their personalities, that's true. They were the same people, but they were transformed from completely unprepared and timid and lost to empowered and emboldened to preach the gospel, and they did. The second thing I notice is the crowd. Those who started to gather when they heard this loud noise. It was Pentecost, which for us is about the Holy Spirit, but this is a Jewish festival, and people had come from all over the Roman world to celebrate this festival in Jerusalem. In verse 9, the passage lists at least 15 different cultural groups. It's at least 15 different languages, as far as I can tell. And they heard Galileans speaking their own languages fluently. And that did not make sense at all. That was very surprising. It says they were utterly amazed. They were perplexed. Even though Peter and the apostles did not know how to speak all of those languages, certainly had not been trained to speak those languages, there was no translator. They had no experience with public speaking. The gospel message of forgiveness in Jesus' name was clear, crystal clear, to all who gathered that day. The crowd pulled in closer to hear more about Jesus. The Spirit certainly wasn't only working in the apostles that day. A man named Eberhard Arnold said, "Fiery tongues of the Spirit ate their way into the hearts of the hearers and inflamed the crowd in one common experience of the same Spirit and the same Christ." They were convicted of their sin, as Peter talked, cut to the heart, it says. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit wasn't just for the longtime followers of Jesus who had listened to the Sermon on the Mount and traveled with him and seen his miracles and would go on to become leaders of the young church. Now, the Holy Spirit was for any who turned away from sin toward God, toward Christ. Verse 41, it said, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." Wow, the Holy Spirit certainly was not only working in the 12 apostles that day. 3,000 responded to the message, sought forgiveness for sins from Jesus, and joined the family of God. Which brings us to our most significant transformation in this passage. Believe it or not, because those are pretty big, those two. Individuals became the church. Got to go back to Genesis 11 a little bit right now. Tower of Babel story that you might remember. People were building a tower that reaches to heaven to make a name for themselves, it said, but the Lord confused their speech. The people could no longer communicate, and they abandoned the tower project and scattered over the earth. This is the explanation that our Bible gives for the beginning of different languages and cultures. In Genesis 11, people separated and split up and went their own ways. Lawrence Holstuckey said, Babel results in disconnectedness, in a confused individualism. The coming of the Spirit in Acts 2 reversed that curse of Babel, and the church was born. No more disconnectedness, no more confused individualism. And then this isn't just about the common, all of the people understanding the message in their language. This is about the Holy Spirit forming the body of Christ, the people of God, the church. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't just work in individuals, although he does. If we seek him, he can transform our individual lives. But if there were no Spirit, there would be no church. The Holy Spirit formed and set the young church on its way that day. I gotta pause a second because I feel like everything in Acts 2 is so unfamiliar to us. God's loud and visible presence, this diverse crowd hearing the same message and responding in faith right away. The church functioning as a family, and we get into some of this beyond where I stopped reading. The first church shared all their resources. All of their resources. They lived together in community and they shared everything they had. They devoted themselves to the Bible, prayer, and life together every day. We're so independent. I mean, I know I am. We can hardly imagine a Christian community so close-knit like a family. We're tempted to make church more of a club or a kind of activity or hobby or interest, something that is part of our lives, but maybe not central to our lives. Even though there's a lot that I think feels unfamiliar to us in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 does not have to be unfamiliar to us. Might look different today. But I like this lyric. Filled with the Spirit's power, with one accord, the infant church confessed its risen Lord. And then our prayer. O Holy Spirit, in the church today, no less your power of fellowship display. Before that Pentecost day, remember that the apostles, the women disciples, and Mary and Jesus' brothers were joined constantly in prayer. Have we prayed for the Holy Spirit to show God's power in the church today? Have we prayed for stronger wind, more fiery warmth? Are we praying for the Spirit to bring unity and boldness? If not, let's do that. And then let's buckle our seatbelts. Because William James Jennings said, they may have asked, speaking of the disciples and all of them, they may have asked for the Holy Spirit, but they did not ask for this. It did not happen in a way that they were expecting. William James Jennings said, this is real grace, untamed grace. When the Spirit comes, the Spirit is in control and we are not. So I ask us to prayerfully reflect this morning, are we ready for untamed grace of the Spirit of Christ? Take a moment to pray and reflect on that.